Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, August 9th, 2012.
From the corner of my eye, there's a tear I'm trying to cry, but the feeling can't be found, like a note thrills in a song. When I play it again, it's gone, 'cause it was never in the sound. And it keeps me wanting that mystery. Sad, tragic kingdom, and it burns me down to the core, because I know there's so much more. It's just a pale reflection, and it keeps.
That was My Last Amen from Down Here's Wide-Eyed and Mystified CD, and it's probably the group's most popular song. Well, tonight's guest is the Waterloo Region connection to Down Here, Cambridge resident Glenn Lavender, who also happens to be Down Here's bass player. He's with me on the phone tonight to talk about an upcoming Down Here concert in Cambridge and the latest news from the group. Good evening, Glenn.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. It's been about a year since we talked in the interview. I mean, you and I have talked outside of this, but and that was around the time On the Altar of Love came out. What's been happening since then with yourself and with the group?
Oh, boy, we had probably our most successful touring season ever in our career. We did a tour that we called the Called to Love Tour, and some really great things about it. Part of it was that we were out on the road with our good friends, you know. We were with Jason Gray, who's a label mate, and I think it was probably our seventh or eighth tour with Jason. We've been on the road with him a lot, and he's a dear friend to all of us. And then Aaron Schust and his band, he came out with us, and we've been on tour with him once before, and he's also actually, he had joined our label maybe 2 years ago, so we're label mates as well, so that was, it's just good when, you know, we're all at the same label, and actually, interestingly enough, we're all at the same booking agency, so we had. The good thing about this tour is we had a label and a booking agency that were all had a lot of interest in seeing this tour succeed. So we had a lot of support, and then Aaron had a song go number one while the tour was going, and Mark had this Queen thing go on. So there's a lot of things, a lot of factors that contributed to its success.
Yeah, and it looked like I saw some video from the tour and that. So it looked like you guys, it wasn't just going out and doing the music and making sure your fans were hearing what was going on, but you guys looked like you were having just a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do, Robert. I mean, that's our job. Well, you know, the funny thing is, part of it is people see bands like ours and think, oh, these guys have really made it. And in some ways, we definitely have, but part of making it in the Christian world still requires that I'm in the trailer for half an hour after the show, sweating and loading everything into the, packing it all up, and we all set up all our own equipment. And but, you know, through that working together, I experience this too, just when I help somebody move or helping out with some sort of project, that, you know, you see some clear hey, we did this together and got it done. That really creates a bond. And so when we're doing this tour every day in, day out, we're doing all this work, and it really creates a really strong bond. So it was a really good time for us.
Weren't there a few things like a bus tire going on you in the middle of nowhere and things like that happening?
Yeah, it's funny. Like early on in our career, when that kind of stuff happened, it felt like it was a big deal. And now it's at the point where, we lost a tire again, or, okay, it's got a flat. I'm going to go back to sleep. Let me know when we get it figured out. But there was one occasion on this tour back in the fall, I think it was, where our driver, I don't know why he decided to stop, but he somehow, like when you're a big tour bus pulling a trailer, that trailer can lose wheels and you don't even hardly feel it. The bus just keeps on trucking, you know, got so much momentum. But one of the wheels just came off and it went, I don't know. We did this fun video of it and it disappeared out into a field in North or South Dakota. So we had a fun time just going out trying to track it down. And so that kind of stuff makes it memorable.
Yeah. You mentioned about Mark and the Queen Extravaganza thing, and what was the band's reaction when he first mentioned it? I've talked to Mark about it, but I haven't talked to anybody in the band. Like, when you first heard he was doing this, what was your reaction to it?
Well, probably I'm not going to react exactly the same, but, growing up in Southern Ontario, I don't know if it's the culture where we are in Waterloo region or what, but I was a Queen fan. My older sister is 6 years older than me, and she bought a Queen tape or two when she was younger, and I was really young, and I listened to those and loved them and really got into the Queen a long time ago. So, and then my teenage years, I had a couple of friends, one of those friends who became my brother-in-law eventually. He was a big Queen fan, and another friend who I think is still in Kitchener is also a big Queen fan. So anyway, I've been a huge Queen fan my whole life. And when I first joined down here, Mark's voice to me sounded like Kevin Max from DC Talk.
Mm-hmm.
But as we got performing together, I thought, man, this guy could really do Freddie if he wanted to. And I was like, Mark, have you listened to much Queen? And so anyway, he gave me a shout out at the Toronto show, which is kind of fun. But I was the one who said, Mark, you got to check out Queen. You sound like this guy. And I was a little selfish because I really wanted to just hear him sing one of those songs. And Mark's the kind of guy that if you start singing a song or whistling a tune, I'll do this occasionally just for fun, but he'll eventually start singing it. And so if you walk past me or hanging around him and you whistle, don't stop believing. Surely, within a minute or two, he'll be belting it out, trying to make it sound just like the original, right? So it's a fun thing to do. It's a fun party trick.
Yeah. Well, part of the whole thing with Queen was you even auditioned yourself. You went into that first round of auditions. What prompted that? Basically, being a Queen fan, or did you just want to try the whole thing out yourself?
Oh well, yeah, I'm a huge Queen fan. I thought if Mark's doing this, I'd love to be involved in it with him. I didn't know. I didn't really have high expectations because I figured Mark is a shoo-in and they probably don't want to get two guys in from the same band. And I think they're looking for younger guys, and for some people I'm still a younger guy, but I'm kind of coming out of that category. And so anyway, I just thought, oh, I'm going to enter this. It'd be a good stretch too to force. It'd almost be like going to school, you know, learn all those Queen bass parts. They're great bass parts. The whole band were great musicians. So
yeah,
I thought it would be a fun experience. Looking back at it and seeing Mark's tour schedule, there's a lot of reasons I'm glad it didn't work out. Would have been away a long time. So I don't like to lose anything. Obviously, I would have loved to have gotten in there for the sake of the accomplishment of it. But in the end, it's the Lord's sovereign hand is on everything. And
yeah.
I'm glad it worked out the way it did, and it was a great show. If you saw it, I don't know, but and I still get the chance to play with Mark. You know, it's not a loss to me. Mark and Jason and Jeremy are some of the finest musicians around. So it's a privilege to get to do that. I was excited to see some younger guys and other people get a chance to have Mark sing with them.
Yeah. I saw the debut on American Idol, and it was just incredible, especially when Brian May and Roger Taylor came out. The energy level and the musicianship just skyrocketed through the roof, and it was just incredible.
Yeah, for sure.
Watching the whole thing. So, well, what we need to do is take a quick break here and continue our conversation with Down Here bass player Glenn Lavender. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Listening to Close to Midnight from Down Here's CD Thunder After Lightning. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Down Here's bass player Glenn Lavender. And Glenn, I have to tell you, that's probably one of my favorite songs. I discovered that. I picked up the Thunder After Lightning CD after a show you guys did here in Waterloo, and I like that whole CD. It's such a neat one that you put together. So,
you know what's crazy about that CD? So for your listeners, Thunder After Lightning is all these songs. The process for recording an album is basically write as many songs as possible, and then we'll demo them, make a really rough recording of them. Mostly it's just Jason and Mark doing the demos themselves in their home studios, and then from there we kind of go through them and choose which songs we think are the best or work together the best. And all those ones on Thunder After Lightning were ones that we liked, but they never really found a home. And so there's always and it's been interesting to see, there's been a couple songs on there that have people have really grabbed onto, that now it's like, oh, maybe we should have put that on one of the albums. But
yeah, and I appreciate you guys doing that, because listen to the, like I said, there's a couple of songs, the one with wings in it, I can't remember the title now.
That's the one that gets the most most feedback. So
that's great, but like I say, Close to Midnight's one that I really like. Getting back to our conversation here as well, is one of the things is I was sitting in the studio, and I was actually sitting here getting ready to record another session of Arts Connection programs, and my BlackBerry pinged on me, and there was an email from Down Here, and it said, quote, "It is with many memories and deep feelings that we relay to you the decision we've made over the course of the last year. January 1st, 2013 will mark the end of our traveling ministry for the foreseeable future." What happened?
What happened? Well, you know, we've been doing this. The other three guys started a couple years before I joined the band, about 1999. I came along in 2001, and we've been slogging it out ever since then, and we've had an awesome career over the last decade. I've got to see a lot of things, play a lot of different places, meet so many great people. The awards and stuff have just been unbelievable, things we never could have foreseen. But, you know, that stuff takes its toll. So there's a sacrifice there on our behalf, and well, I will say sacrifice is way higher by my wife, who is home, and you know, if she leaves the house and I'm home and I got to sleep in my own bed without her, that's when I start to realize, man, this stinks. And that's hardly ever happened, but when I'm the one who's always leaving, I'm in a new place, I'm with friends, I'm playing music, I'm fulfilled by the fact that I believe I'm doing work that has a big impact. And so it's a fulfilling thing for me, but for our wives who are home with the kids, holding down the fort, they have made a huge sacrifice to allow all of us to do what we do. And, you know, there comes a time where we need to just make a change. And there's probably a few times over, actually there has been definitely a few times over the past few years where we've thought, is this going to be the time? No, I think we still have another year or so, or another 2 years, who knows? Let's just play it out for another season. So it's been close to happening a few times. There's so many factors, like I said, just the road, and then the financial factor is also, that plays into it, you know, it's not a job that you can retire with unless you've had some huge, huge songs, and we haven't had the huge, huge song. It might appear like we have, but the way the market and industry is now, it's not enough to sustain a living the way we have been going, and definitely not enough to build into a future or retirement or anything like that. So, you know, it just came a time where let's just hang up the skates for a little bit. We're not saying we're breaking up or we're totally done or anything, but this season that we've been in needs to change. So. Mm-hmm.
I think the breakup thing kind of went through some people's minds, because with Mark off doing Queen Extravaganza, it sort of, I think some people sort of wondered, well, are the guys going their separate ways? Are they breaking up? And you just sort of allayed that fear for fans.
And we tried to communicate that in the email. We did directly say this was not a band breakup, but even our label, guys from our label, I've heard them use the language, well, the band is broken up now. It's like, come on, we're trying to avoid that.
Yeah.
That's not what it is. So, I mean, we don't know if we'll ever record another album or tour again. We're not saying we won't.
Mm-hmm.
But we also realize that once you make this shift, you know, we could all end up in very different places. And if we all end up with kind of normal jobs, then, you know, you've got 2 or 3 weeks of holidays, and do you take that to go record with your friends, or do you take it to be with your family who you've been away from with work? So, you know, it's things like that that are going to, that are affected. So it's hard to know exactly what this will eventually end up looking like.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's always a challenge to make that kind of decision. You know, and there have been other groups who have done it, but how did you sort of get to that point where, individually and as a group, you just sort of realize that the season for Down Here has ended. God has given you guys a great ministry, but now it's time for another avenue of ministry. How did you come to that that decision yourself?
Well, part of it, we also mentioned in our letter that the same sovereign hand of God that put us together and allowed us to do what we've been doing for the last 10 years seems to be causing us to end. Like, the timing is now, based on our circumstances and what's going on. So a couple of details just to help people understand. You know, Jason and Heather, they had a baby back in February, and you know, when we started, Jason always said, well, when Heather and I started having kids, I'm probably going to have to be done on the road. And that was something we had always known. And, you know, they got pregnant, and Jay said, well, the good news is we're pregnant, and the other good news is I'm not quitting the band or anything right now. So that was when we found that out. And then, now since they've had the child, between that, I think that's kind of one of the factors. And then this year has been pretty difficult for us to book, and don't get me wrong, I'm very supportive of Mark, but the whole that whole thing has made it challenging to book concerts. And, you know, we make our living booking concerts, so if you can't book concerts, you can't survive.
Yeah.
So anyway, that plays into it somewhat. We had some real difficulties with organizing schedules since Mark had to give the Queen Extravaganza the priority. So that may make some people angry, think that this is what caused it, but it was one of the cogs in the wheel that eventually has caused us to say, you know, we need to, it's time. It's time to move on. This is, it's God's timing. He makes it all happen. And so.
Yeah. And I mean, I've talked to artists over the years, and they've always said to me that, you know, I'm not in this forever. I'm in this as long as God calls me to this particular ministry.
Exactly. And our responsibility is to be obedient. And we've always prayed. Well, Robert, I can't stress enough how difficult we've had some years and months. You know, or I've come home with a $500 or $600 check, and that's about it for the month. And these things happen, and by the grace of God, I've had other friends and opportunities arise to help fill in the gaps and cover some of those things. But, you know, the Lord orchestrates things the way He orchestrates things, and we prayed, Lord, if you want this to keep going, then you need to keep it going. If it's time for this to die, please kill it so that we know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like this is one of those times that prayer is answered. It's time to wrap it up. We don't really, honestly, we didn't have too much of an option. The only other option might have been, okay, let's take a break for a year.
Yep.
And try and get back at it. But again, find a job for a year, pay the bills. How do you manage that? So we just thought the time was right. Let's just call it right now, and we'll come back to it. We're all good. We're still all good friends. There's not been any relationship loss or problems there or anything. So,
well, speaking of times and breaks, I got to take another quick break. After this break, we'll come back and finish our conversation with Down Here bass player Glenn Lavender. I'm your host, Robert White. You're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Your spirit hovers over my waters. Your love burns longer than the sun. The skies of thunder echo your wonder. Your praises can't be oversung. The whole universe is witness to only a part. Discover.
listening to Let Me Rediscover You from the Down Here CD on the Altar of Love. I'm your host. We're going to wrap up our conversation with Down Here bassist Glenn Lavender. Glenn, quickly, there are still going to be a time for people in this KW area to hear Down Here. You got a concert coming up at the end of the month. What can you tell me about it?
We do. I'm pretty excited that there's definitely morning with the with wrapping things up, but man, I'm excited that we managed to get Cambridge, Ontario into the probably one of the last few shows we'll be doing. So yeah, we'll be in Cambridge at the end of August, and we're still kind of working out our set, but we're gonna put a set together that's got a lot of the new stuff, especially off of On the Altar of Love. We want people to have a chance to hear some of those songs live, and it's going to be a fun night. I think it might be a little emotional for some of us, but it's going to be all my family and friends, and I know that even just the two shows we've done since we made the announcement, or one show, there's been people coming from long distances to see the show, and it's a bit of a, for a band that you feel like has music that has carried you through difficult times and stuff, which I've got those bands too. I get it, and so those people are coming to these shows, and so anyway, it'll be a really great night.
Yeah, it's Thursday, August 30th at Calvary Pentecostal, just listen. I think Faith FM's got some details on that. They'll be going over the air, and you'll get to go home that night. Now you want to spend it in a hotel.
That will be a sweet time, yeah.
Well, Glenn, thanks a lot for your time today.
Thanks, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guest, Glenn Lavender, and to be sure to tune in next week for a look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.